Let's pray. Jesus, as always, open your word to us. Open our hearts to you. In your name, amen. When I was a supervisor at 3M, people would sometimes gripe. What a surprise, huh? Sometimes they'd gripe about management, sometimes about the supply personnel, engineers, fellow employees. Other times they were just so tired of the stupid machine breaking down again. Most of the time I just listened to them. But once in a while I would remind them just how good they had it. I would say to them, think about this. The things we gripe about say a lot about how blessed we are. And then I would remind them that they are griping about how frustrating their job can be. They're not griping about not having a job. And then I would remind them also that they weren't griping about not having a place to stay, enough food to eat, enough money to make ends meet. And if I was really on a roll, I'd remind them that they weren't griping about living in a country where if you don't belong to this religious group versus that one, this group comes and kills all the men in the village and rapes all the women and steals all the children. And they weren't complaining about war raging back and forth over their city, their country, their state, whatever the case might be, as in Russia and Ukraine. And then they would think about it for a minute and go, yeah, I guess we got it pretty good. That's essentially my message for today. We have it pretty good, don't we? God has blessed the United States richly. And as a result, we have been blessed because of it. And we ought to thank God for that every day. So let's consider a number of the ways that God has blessed us. If you want, turn with me to Deuteronomy 28:6-14. At the end of Moses' life, God explained in great detail to his people that if you obey me, I will bless you this way. If you disobey me, I will curse you this way. And he went into great detail. We're going to use part of that text as a springboard. Now, technically, these words were spoken to Israel, not to a Gentile nation such as the United States. But God has blessed us, I believe, in many of the ways that he promised to bless Israel if they followed him. Which, of course, makes me also wonder if we turn from God, will he also curse us the way he said that he would curse his people? In any event, here is one of the ways God has blessed us as a nation. Deuteronomy 28:7, he said to his people, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Again, the promise is specific to Israel, but I think it applies to us. And for whatever reason, God has certainly given the United States victory over our enemies. Amen. Like I said a couple weeks ago, that the colonies never should have won the Revolutionary War. But they did. The War of 1812, which some say was just a continuation of the Revolutionary War, we won that one too. The Mexican War, we won. In all of our wars with the Native Americans, the United States won. I know you know all this. The Union won the Civil War. Easily could have gone the other way. Spanish-American War we won. We were on the winning side of both world wars, both of which easily could have gone the other way. What if Hitler had invaded the Soviet Union? Would the Allies ever have been able to dislodge Hitler from Europe? Or what if Hitler had had another year to develop his rockets? Or what if they and their program had a little bit more success in developing the atomic bomb and had developed that first? I suppose you can't say we won the Korean War, but we didn't lose it either. Some say we lost the Vietnam War. Actually, we just got tired of fighting and quit. Desert Storm, Afghanistan, now Iran. We haven't always outlasted our enemies, but whenever we have fought, we've been tough to beat. Now, surely, I know many people who think this in our country. We have won these wars because we're the toughest kid on the block. What does the Bible say? Ecclesiastes 9:11. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. Said another will, another way, God's will happens to them all. Different time, a different circumstance, and everything would have turned out differently. And if you don't think America can be brought low, if you don't think that we have gained the victories we have by God's hands, then do you remember our invasion of Grenada? Boy, now I'm taking us way back to 1983. After Vietnam, we were so divided as a nation, and our military was in disarray. And everywhere we looked, if you remember back then, in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, everywhere we looked, it seemed as if the Soviet Union was gaining ground in the world, the upper hand. Even when we tried to rescue the Iranian hostages in 1980, we failed. We sent 8 helicopters, 3 of them malfunctioned on the way. 3 out of 8. And then when the socialist government took over Grenada in a coup, we sent troops to restore the government. We outnumbered the Cubans who were there and the Grenadans. Is that how you pronounce their people? I don't know. We outnumbered them, and yet I remember thinking, I don't know how you guys felt, I remember thinking, and many of my friends thought the same thing, we're going to get our butts kicked by Cuba and tiny Grenada. We're going to get our butts kicked. Of course, we didn't. But I think the point is, God had brought us pretty low, and he can do it again. Yes, it helps be strong militarily, and we are, but if God decrees that we should lose a battle, we will. Period. It's good to remember that God has been most gracious to the United States in the battles we have fought. Has given us victory after victory after victory. In fact, just how gracious has he been to us? Think of Canada to the north of us. It borders our country for 4,000 miles, and up until 2007, we did not even need a visa to enter or a passport to enter, or they did not need one to come to our country. You could just cross the border. Think of Russia with China. Russia with Ukraine, so many countries in the world, long borders, unsafe. Even Mexico, we share a 2,000-mile border with them, and yes, we've had some issues with immigration, with immigrants crossing our border, but what if Mexico, what if Canada were our enemy? It's great to have a peaceful neighbor to the north and to the south of us, and oceans to the east and west. God has been good to us. Here's a second way God has blessed us. Deuteronomy 28:8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. God has certainly blessed America and caused us to prosper, hasn't he? He has certainly filled our barns. As you know, we here in the United States have some of the best farmland in the world. And according to the article, American Agricultural Facts, there are 2.1 million farms across the United States, which average about 435 acres in size. 99% of those farms are still family-owned. That surprised me. All totaled, about 914 million acres in the United States are dedicated to farming. On average, a single farm in our country can feed 165 people. We've certainly been blessed with a good land, haven't we? We We also have tremendous reserves of coal and oil, according to the article Coalfax on AmericanPowers.org. The United States has 249 billion tons of known coal reserves, the largest in the world, and enough to sustain our current production rate for 440 years. As for oil, how much oil is produced in the United States? That's the article on USAFacts.org. The United States has once again become the largest producer of crude oil in the world as of 2018, surpassing both Russia and Saudi Arabia. The United States produces approximately 13.3 billion gallons of crude oil per day, and 2025 was a record year. We certainly have been blessed with a good land, haven't we? One more. Let's talk about mineral resources. Now I'm quoting from America's Mineral Resources article. The United States is blessed with some of the richest supplies of mineral wealth anywhere in the world. In fact, our mineral reserves, which can be defined as those we can mine today, we have the ability and legally can do it, those that we can mine today, are worth $6.2 trillion plus. We certainly have been blessed with a good land, haven't we? Not only that, the Lord has been with us in the things that we have undertaken. Once we were the world's leader in manufacturing, we're not anymore. China is, but we still account for 15% of the world's manufactured goods. And we are still ahead of other manufacturing giants like Japan, Germany, South Korea, India. We don't lead in innovation as much as we once did, but remember, we're still the only nation who has landed a man on the moon. And we still lead the world in semiconductors, advanced electronics, robotics, AI, and so on. And of course, we make our presence felt all over the world. Once again, from another article, overseas military bases by country. The United States has over 750 military bases in 80 different countries. The Lord has been with us in our undertakings, has he not? Interestingly enough, historians tend to agree that we stepped onto the world stage in the 1880s or so. That's when we became a major presence and a major power in the world. Do you know what else happened at the same time? Tsarist Russia began to persecute their Jews, and many of those Jews immigrated to our country. And as you know, this is the promise that God made Abraham, Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. You can do with that what you want. Here is another way we've been blessed. God has established us as a people. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And once again, he's talking to the Jews. God promised he would establish them as a people holy to himself. I do not think that God made the same promise to any Gentile nation. But God has clearly established us as a people. Clearly. Initially, we were not a separate people. We were British subjects. And of course, we declared our independence. After that, many people began coming to our country, and we welcomed them. In the late 1700s, there were so many Germans that came to our country that in 1795, there was a motion put to Congress that all the statutes of our country be published in both English and German, because there were so many people in our country from Germany. The motion was voted down. But the point is, that's a lot of Germans to incorporate. If I remember my family history correctly, my grandparents on my dad's side spoke Danish at home still. I think my dad could understand Danish as a child, but not speak it very well. And what was my dad? An American. not a Dane, even though Danish was spoken in the house. He was not a Dane. He was an American. Many German people came to our shores in the decade previous to World War II. And what did many of those people do? They fought against their old country for their new country. Why? Because even though they had come to our country, they viewed themselves as Americans. It's amazing how many people from how many different nationalities and languages have come to our country and very quickly began to view themselves as Americans. And we, who are ashamed nowadays, are incredibly divided. God established us as a people, but we are incredibly divided nowadays. But that's on us, not God. That's our fault, not his. But it should amaze us that God took a bunch of British citizens, added a goodly number of Germans, a dash or three of Scandinavians, a bunch of Slavic people, Italians, and so on, mixed in African Americans, Native Americans, and in our day and age, Hispanics, mix that all together and came up with a people, Americans. I am by pedigree half Danish. My dad was a purebred, a quarter German and a quarter English, more or less. I'm not a Dane, not a German, I'm not a Brit. I am an American. That's all I am. That's all I want to be. God made us a people. One more way, the fourth way that God has blessed us from our text, verses 13 and 24. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Again, in many ways this is specific to the Jew. God is promising the Jews that one day, we understand this more fully than they do, one day Christ will return, Christ a Jew, and he will set up his Jewish kingdom in Jerusalem, which will reign over the entire earth. With that said, God has done something similar to us as a nation. He has made us, for the moment, a head and not the tail. The world doesn't weigh us. We weigh the world. Think of the influence we as a country have on the world. So, for instance, no matter where a person lives, most likely he's heard of the United States of America. We, on the other hand, haven't heard of a great number of countries. Like Sao Tome. Is that really a country? Have you ever heard of it? Yes, it really is a country. And where is Sao Tome located? It's in Africa, in case you're interested. Many countries we've never heard of, and we don't really care. Not only that, many people in the world, no matter where they live, are required to learn English as a second language. We're not required to learn any particular language as a second language. And most of us, if we've had a second language, it was a year or two of this or that. Not 10, 12 years of that language. Our movies and shows are watched throughout the world, for good or evil. Our music is listened to throughout the world, again, for good or evil. There are financial centers and stock exchanges in other parts of the world, but New York still reigns supreme. And other currencies are still measured against the dollar. And many people, even though they wouldn't articulate it, long to share in what we call the American dream. I think I've shared this before, but when I pastored in the Twin Cities and we sponsored a Sudanese family, they had lived in a refugee camp for 20-some years. And when they landed in Minneapolis, we each divided up responsibilities and helped them become a part of our nation. And as soon as they got here, they wanted two things. Car and a color TV. That's what it meant to be an American. Car and a colored TV. And then after a few months, after they had settled in, the wife wanted something else that was very American. Because now that she was in America, she wanted a divorce. We have a great influence upon the world. On the other hand, we don't put a lot of stock into what the rest of the world thinks or does. Sure, we have our ethnic foods, Chinese, Mexican, and Italian food, but we make these foreign foods the way we like them, not the way the mother countries make them. When it comes to clothes, yeah, the snobs in our country insist on the French fashion, but most of us, we're content to slap on jeans and a t-shirt and call it good. Politically, we have consulted our allies on matters of importance or worked with them through world organizations, but even before there was Make America Great Again movement, we were often accused of pursuing our own self-interests. And sometimes we did. For decades now, we have been the head and not the tail. And I think this is very telling. We have thought it the most natural thing in the world that this should be so. It's like when a number of people talk about their football team and which is the best and which is the greatest. Somebody says the Dallas Cowboys, they are America's team after all. Others will say the Patriots, they've won the most Super Bowls. Others might say the 49ers, the Steelers. It's all very amusing. We Packer fans, we sometimes join in, but we don't feel the need to join in because we know. We know. That's how we Americans think about our nation. We know. We know. And there is no doubt that we are the head and not the tail, no doubt. And it's God's doing. Which makes me wonder, are we using our influence for good? With great advantage comes great responsibility. If God were to write a 500-word essay on the United States, I wonder what he would say. Some of it good, some of it not so good. Once again, we as a nation have been richly blessed, and you and I ought to thank God every day for the blessings we experience. We are incredibly blessed. But this is true blessedness. This is true blessedness. Psalm 32, 1 through 2. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. This is true blessedness. Psalm 34, 8, will taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Or Psalm 44, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. Psalm 84, 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. 94, 12, blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law. 106:3. Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. And 128:1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. We've been greatly blessed by God as a nation. God has given us victory over our enemies. He has filled our barns and blessed our endeavors. He has established us as a people. And he has made us the head and not the tail. I like those blessings. And I would not like to lose them. But once again, this is true blessedness. Matthew 5, 3 through 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Being blessed is nice. Being a blessing, that's where it's truly at. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for how you have blessed our nation, and as a result, bless those of us who are gathered here today. You have been good to us, very good to us. How can we ever thank you enough? But Lord, even more so, you have blessed us in Christ. We are forgiven, we are adopted, we are loved. For that, we can never, ever thank you enough. Now in our turn, Lord, make us a blessing. In your name, amen.
Our last hymn this morning is number 73, Thou Art Worthy. We'll sing it 2 times through.